and they made a mistake, and they just looked at each other and just, you know, and all this stuff, you know. And I said, you know, if you had never done that, nobody out here would have known that you made a mistake. And then after that, they were singing one day, and Justin was singing, and I said, you know, the words is what's so powerful. The words of the scripture, the words of the songs that you sang, if they're right, those are what's so powerful. And so they had sang this one particular song time and time again, and Justin, it was him singing the song and Cody coming in on the chorus or whatever, and Justin was singing the verse, and all of a sudden it dawned on him what he was singing. And he choked up and he couldn't finish. And it was so wonderful because nobody knew it, but Cody took over and sung Justin's part and his part at the end, and nobody really, you couldn't tell the difference. And I told them, I said, you know what? That was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. Years ago, I was getting my pilot's license, and I was off on get cocky, and you know, I'm flying now, and I had already soloed, and I was able to come rent the plane and fly where I wanted to, and everything. And I got lost because I didn't use. I had ground school. I had all of those things. I'd done all those things, And I got lost because I didn't use the equipment. You use your sight, you use the equipment, you use everything that you have at your disposal. And I was just riding along, taking it easy, cooling it, you like he's out on a Sunday afternoon ride. And all of a sudden I realized the pine trees that I was seeing down below me was not in the area that I belonged in or where I thought I was. And so I panicked, and I near crashed the plane, but finally it come to me, and I just cried out and said, God, help me. And the Lord said, not in an audible voice, but he said, turn the radio on. Amen. And that, not the radio with, you know, the country music station and all that bunch of mess, but turn the radio on means the VCR. And I turned it on. I should have had it on to start with. And I heard it say College Station VOR, College Station VOR. And it has a little arrow, a little line in the center. And as long as you keep that line in the center of that gauge, it's going to take you right to that VCR. And so I knew I was going towards College Station. And so when I got it, the plane turned, I got control of myself. I turned, and when I looked up, I seen the VOR station. And so I got back. And so when I got back to the airport and landed, and I'm not going to go into all the gross details, but I got sick in the airplane when I realized I was lost. And, of course, you know what happens when you get sick like that. And so when I came back, I parked way down at the end of where all the planes was because there was a faucet down there and there was rags and towels and all that stuff. And so I started cleaning the plane out and getting everything back to normal. And my instructor came, and he was walking along. And I think he had already figured out what it was. He was smiling, you know. And he's a great big old boy, like Brother Patrick or something, you know, great big old boy. And he walked up to me and he said, what happened, bro? What happened, Bill? And I said, well, I got lost. And I said, I kind of got a little sick and I was cleaning the plane out. And he just went to laughing. And I went over to him and I said, listen, you're a big rascal and you can kill me, but I'm fixing to hit you right in the mouth if you don't get that smile off of your face. And he said, I didn't mean it that way. He said, let me tell you what. He said, if every one of my pupils would get lost, go through what you went through, and get back here safe, I would love for that to happen to him. And he said, I'm so tickled that you experienced all of that and that you were able to get back to the place where you should be. And so, you know, many times in our life, we have to endure through the troubles and the trials that basically we start ourselves. And sometimes we're able to get back unscathed. Sometimes we don't get back unscathed. But God is a God that can make it all right anyhow. Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. And so there's many a times when people got up to sing and did something like that, and they just fell all to pieces. And Ms. Jacqueline said, it's okay, I'll start over, bless God. Amen, I like that. Amen, that's good. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to look at verse 45 and verse 47. Well, 45, 46, and 47. But before I do that, I would like for you to look at verse 29. Now, we all know the story about how that David's dad had sent him to the army, and the Israelites was on one side of the mountain, on one mountain, and the Philistines was on the other. Now, you know the Philistines are the arch enemies of the children of Israel. And so there they was, and every day the big giant Goliath would come out, and he would rant and rove, and he would carry on and everything, and he'd say, send out your champion. If you win, we'll be in subjection to you. If we win, you'll be in subjection to me. Now, the Philistines were liars, just like the devil is and his crowd, and they never meant what they said, amen. But here we have these two nations of people, and they're sitting there looking at each other, growling and whatever, but they're scared to do anything about it, at least Israel is. And so David's dad wanted to send, this is a paraphrase. He wanted to send some crackers and cheese. It talks about all the cheeses that he sent, but how could you have cheese without crackers? I just throw that in there. But he sent crackers and cheese to his brothers. He wanted David to take this stuff to his brothers and feed them. And by the way, in the armies of that day and time, the army guys had to produce their own food. They weren't fed by the army. And so he was concerned about his son, so he sent this food to him, and he wanted to check out what was going on. When they got there, David began, and David is a kid. I'm talking about literally he's a kid. It's estimated anywhere from 13 to 16, 17 years old. I believe he was more on the short end than he was on the big end. He goes there, and when he gets there, he hears this big old giant, and this big old giant is crying out blasphemies against God's people and against their God and so on and so forth. And so David gets real upset. And so he makes a statement. He said, well, I'll fight the giant. And you can imagine the soldiers, it was probably embarrassing to them because none of them had offered to do it and so on and so forth. And David said, I'll fight the giant. It's no big deal. And so his brothers pile on his case. And they said, you need to go back and take care of a handful of sheep that Daddy has and get out of here. This is men's work here. And you're not a man. And so on. And they giving him what for. Now, I'd like for every person in this congregation who is under the age of 20, would you stand up, please? Every person in here that's under the age of 20. Zelma, you stay seated. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to do one other thing for me. Now, just trust me, okay, and do this for me. Would you come down here to the front? Just come down here to the front. If you would, just come down here to the front. And I want you to look out here at these people. But mostly what I want to happen is I want these people to look at what's up here. Okay, that's mostly what I'd like. Okay, now listen to this. This is what David said whenever they went to criticizing David. This is what David said. David said, what have I done? I want to fight the giant. What have I done? He said, is there not a cause? Now, you people sitting out there, there is a cause. And you're looking at it. And without your instruction and help and prayers and all this, these children will start at a lower level than they normally would. This is the reason. This is the cause right here. Okay, y'all can be seated. Thank you very much. Amen. I appreciate that. Now, if you'll turn over in your Bibles to verse 45. Verse 45, I want to read verse 45, 46, and verse 47. And we want to talk about what's in a name. What's in a name? Now, remember what we've been doing since the first of the year. We've been talking about all kind of things that we could have that would help us during the year to not better your life in a physical sense as much as to help the world in its condition and the church in its condition of the souls of men. We don't have a lot of time. In fact, the business is, I believe we don't have very much time at all. And if that's the case, then we need to put every effort that we have towards this year being the best year we've ever had. Amen, as far as Victory Baptist Church is concerned. Now, I want to say because of attendance-wise, we have done a lot better than we have in the past. Okay? And I'm thankful for that. We have people that are sick today and not here. But there is two families or three families that I know of that are not here as a result of sickness. So, you know, the house could be almost filled. I could tell we was fixing to have revival when Patrick moved up to the third row up here. Amen. I could tell that right off. Amen. Amen. I love Patrick. I hope he don't get sick of me. Amen. But anyhow, verse 45 says this. Then said David to the Philistine, they're talking about the giant, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear. That's very, very important. Notice what he said. And with a shield. But I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. He cursed our God. He did all those things. And David heard it. I tell you, it made David hot. Okay? And so David says in verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now watch me here. He says he's going to, in the middle part of this verse, I'm going to give the carcass of the host of the Philistines. He's not just talking about the giant. He said all of you is going to die, boys. Now watch me. They were supposed to submit themselves to Israel. If the giant won, Israel was supposed to submit to them. If David won, they were supposed to submit. But they had no intention to do this. And God revealed this to David. And David said, we're going to kill y'all. All of you. We're taking you down. Okay? Now, I want you to know something. Eventually, when our king comes back, he's going to eliminate all of those that reject his holy name. They don't have a chance. It's over for them. Notice he said in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. Now we know that David came to fight. In fact, if you go down another verse, it said that when he started towards the Goliath, that he ran at him. Now, can you imagine some little old squirt? Didn't have any armor, didn't have anything. Here's the giant. He has this huge helmet on his head. He has this mail, a bronze mail. Call it mail. It's a big shield here. It's flexible, but it will divert arrows and stuff away. He has shields from his knees down that are brass. He has a shield that he holds. Then he's got an armor bearer in the front of him with a big armor, a shield that he holds. And that's the way he comes. And when David saw all of that, it just scared him to death. So he ran at the giant. It didn't scare David. He was ready for battle. David was ready for battle. We hear about David giving the explanation to Saul. And he says to Saul, the bear and the lion came. And they came into my camp and they took one of my lambs. And he said, I killed the bear and the lion. The Lord killed the bear and the lion through my hand. Watch me now. One of them, the lion, took one of the little lambs in his mouth and ran away, and David caught him and killed him and took the lamb out of his mouth. The lamb was okay. Now, you say, man, what a kid that kid was. Well, let me say something to you. He makes it very clear that it was not him, it was the Lord. That stone that he picked up out of that stream with a slingshot. Now, this other guy's got a spear, you know, and it's 2-inch diameter. The spear, the rod is with a head on it that weighs, you know, telling what it weighs, 25 pounds, something like that. And he picks up this small, he's picked up 5 smooth stones. Goliath had 4 brothers. And eventually, David did, through battle, kill all of the giants. Now, some of it was through his armies doing the work, but he eventually killed all of them, and it was conveyed to David's name because he took care of the giants. But this one giant, David threw that little stone with that slingshot. Now, slingshots were very common in that day. A lot of the excavations that they had, they found these slingshots everywhere, and they used them, and they were good at it. But David threw this little stone, and it hit Goliath, right in the forehead. Right in the forehead. And it didn't kill him, but he fell on his face. David ran, took his sword out and cut his head off. And he wagged that head off for years, I guess. I don't know how long he had it, but he had it for years. And he took it everywhere he went as proof that he killed the giant. But I want to go to something a little bit more important than that, a whole lot more important than that, in what David kept saying over and over again, what he kept rehearsing in the ears of everybody that was present. In the name of the Lord of hosts. Now, the other day, y'all heard Glory call different ones and told him to pray for Brother Edwards and have surgery again. He's had those cancers all over his head. This one here was more severe than the others were. And so they dug quite a big hole behind his ear on a big, it was cancer, and took it off. Well, I was sitting in a deer stand on Monday, and I was going to kill my son a deer. And so I was sitting there in that deer stand, and I got to thinking about David and what David did. Got to thinking about the hurdles and the difficulties we encounter here, down here in this life. Cancers, any number of things. When I was a boy, polio was rampant. And, of course, they began to give the polio shot and everything. And, of course, Jerry Adams over here had polio. His sister, Miss Peggy, had polio. It didn't affect her as badly as it did Jerry, but they had polio. That was a bad time. We have these different things that's happened over the years, and we see these things constantly happening in our society today. St. Jude's Hospital. If you ever want to give something to somebody, give it to St. Jude's Hospital. They never charge a dime for nothing. Shiners, is that the way you say it? Down in Houston, same way. And they take care of children. You can't imagine how many children is in those cancer hospitals and what those kids are going through. Our children, at Christmas, we have a box at home. It's all decorated up and everything has a slot in the top. And our grandchildren and our children put money in that to send it to St. Jude's Hospital for those children that don't get to go to a Christmas party with their families, and they don't get to do a lot of that stuff because they're in the hospital. Most of them don't have any hair and all of this. It's just a hideous thing. The first year our children did that, they gave $600, our grandchildren. And that was eight of them. And that's going to go to their account. God's going to reckon that to their account. Not because that they gave money and expect God to give them something, but because they realized what they had when we got together on Thanksgiving and Christmas and enjoyed each other's fellowship and company. And I'm going to tell you something, listen to me. In this church here, I'd like the whole world to hear this, but they're not here today. So let me tell you, don't you take for granted what you have with each other in this church. Don't you dare take that for granted. You bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's why I said what I said about Patrick. You know, I don't want him having that. Good grief. I can't imagine over 200, blood pressure over 200, stuff like that. I just can't imagine that. And I love that guy. I love that guy. And I want God to do something in his life. So I'm praying that the great Lord God of hosts, Jehovah, will touch his life and do something in his life. Now, does that mean he will? I don't know what he's going to do. God is God, and there's none else beside him. But I know that he loves Patrick more than I ever could love Patrick. And so I'm going to ask God. I'm asking God for that. And I want you to do the same thing. I want you to get serious about this prayer thing, because we're talking about a new year, a new opportunity, and everything that we do, that we'd bring honor and glory to the Lord. Remember what he said, you defiled the God of Israel, and I'm taking you down. And I'm telling you, you can't fight the devil by yourself, but there's somebody who can. Amen. And he's our big brother, the Lord Jesus, and he will do that. But you have to incorporate him into your life. Everything that you do, you have to incorporate him into your life. And you have to get to the place to where you recognize the fact that and I know David did that. David was bold and brash and all of this, but David kept saying, it's in the Lord's hands, and you will fall by the might of God, not by David's sword. But notice he also said, God does the victory without the sword and the shield. He does it with a stone. Amen. He does it with a kid, with a little thing. So God will use our hands as we're fit for the master's use. Amen. So we need to realize that God wants to do great and mighty things. Now, Joe's going to go way up yonder, North Egypt. Amen. Patrick is going to go South Egypt, down here in Florence. By the way, I wonder what they feed y'all over at Florence. I've never seen so many big old guys. My life. I told that pastor up there, Christine, the new pastor, I said, I come to Tennessee from the great state of Texas, where everything is huge and big, and he's 2 foot taller than I am. I mean, I had to have a deal to stand on to get behind his pulpit. Amen. No, I didn't really. But here's the thing. We're talking about areas that we're scattered all over the country here. in this little church, all over. So our church, in effect, can touch lives that Brother Billy can't touch, Brother Larry can't, amen, Brother, different ones cannot do. But as you go about your daily duties, representative of what God has done in our lives in this place, we are to get. And by the way, when David killed the bear and the lion, watch me, God was training David for this day. David didn't know about this day. David had no clue about this day. But God did, and God was preparing him. Don't take for granted what we do together here in this church and how God's Word is affecting your heart and changing your views about things and helping you to understand and comprehend things, because God is preparing you for something on down the road that may be a lot worse than what you're seeing now. Amen. Now, thank God we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares for us and wants us to have the best and wants us to do. Now, I think next week, I'm not sure now, but I think next week I'm going to talk about how to be more than a conqueror. Amen. Now, what does a conqueror do? Well, he goes in, he kills everybody he wants to kill, and he keeps the ones he wants to keep. Amen. And da-da-da-da-da. You read Daniel. What was Daniel? They were kids that were brought in after a big battle, and they were brought to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar wanted them. They wanted to be super kids so that he could do great things for Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. So what does a conqueror do? Well, he does anything he wants to. Amen. Kills who he will and saves who he will and takes what he wants. And amen, that's what he does. Well, the Bible says that a Christian can be more than a conqueror. Do I need to spell that out? More, M-O-R-E, more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. So God has great and mighty things for us to pray in His name, what I said a while ago, and not is not a formula for the results that we want. Let me say it again now. It is not a formula for the results that we want, but that we are so one with Him that God knows the very heart of us. What does God say about David? Dave, he was a man after God's own heart. He knew David's heart. David was a man after God's own heart. No matter what happened in David's life, he was the constant focus of David on the Lord and what he wanted, what he thinks. I went to the eye doctor this week. Not the eye doctor. I went to the, I guess it's the eye doctor. She told me everything's wrong with me, but I went to get my license renewed. Okay, and I went through the process, and everything was fine and everything. And she said, "Now, do you wear your glasses when you drive?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do you have to?" And I said, "No, ma'am, no big deal." She said, "Well, you look in this thing right here." And so I looked in it, and there was three columns in there, and in them columns was numbers over here to the side, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. She said, "Read line 5," and so I read line 5. It only had two numbers. In two of the columns, one of the columns didn't have anything in it. The other two had numbers in it. So I read the numbers, and I was so proud of myself. And I said, "How's that?" And she said, "Read the third column." I said, "There's no numbers in the third column." She said, "Yes, there is." And I said, "No, ma'am, there's no numbers in the third column." She said, "Put your glasses on." I put my glasses on and looked in there, and there was numbers in the third column. And she said, "You will have to wear your glasses from now on as you drive." A lot of times we don't realize the things that's coming into our life that we don't expect. And it sneaks up on us. And we're not looking for it. And so I want us to talk about, does all your prayers get through? What's in a name? I talked about praying for Brother Ed in a deer stand. God so impressed my heart. David said this, "I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. I am here as a result for what God has done in my life. God has changed me irreparably." And I talked about Gloria's brother-in-law who didn't know anything about the Bible, got saved in his 70s, mid-70s. He run all over the country, had children with other women besides his wife. His wife was the sweetest woman I ever, I mean, she. My wife will tell you, her sister was something else. She was a blessing. That's the way he treated her all of their married life. And in the mid-70s, he came to this church and got saved, born again. And he was different. We'd never known anybody to be so different. The last couple of weeks that he lived, we'd go visit him a couple of times a week. And we'd go in. He had a big chair. He couldn't get out of the chair. Had a catheter and everything. Couldn't get up. Couldn't do anything. When I would walk in the door, he'd say, "Come on over here, Bill. Let's talk to the Lord." I said, "Amen. Amen. We'll pray in a little bit." No, he said, no. "We need to start this thing off right." He said, "Come over here, right here. And I want you to pray before we start anything." And I'd go over and kneel down beside his chair. And he'd pat me on the shoulder and he'd say, "Now, I pray all day long. I ask God to help me, be with my children, be with my grandchildren. Save some of them," he said. "It's always that's on your heart." He said, "I know God hears my prayers. But," he said, "I know God hears you every time you pray." And I said, "Jimmy, now look." He said, "Nope, hold it. I know that God hears you." Now, you can say that's bragging. It's not bragging. Because in our ignorance, in our simplicity, God is not looking for great, intelligent scientists. He's looking for down-home people that care about other people and love other people. Over and over, Jesus kept saying to his disciples, "Love ye one another, as I have loved you, as my Father hath loved me." That's a love that we have no capacity for. We can't do that. It has to be God. So how do we get the love of Christ in our life? This New Year's we're starting, how do we do that? Because without that, we don't have a hope. And I'm talking about living for Christ, living for God, doing the right thing. Can you pray this morning and know for a fact that God hears your prayer? How can you do like David did and use this phraseology, "I come in the name of the Lord of hosts"? He's talking about the nation of Israel. He also says that he wants them to realize that there's a God in the house of Israel. There is a God in the house of Israel. You know what's wrong with America today? They don't believe in God. They don't have a concept about God. They could care less about God. I heard a woman last night talking about she was in the abortion clinics, and she run the abortion clinics, and she said the fastest way in America to make $1 million is to work in an abortion clinic. Did you know there's no regulations on abortion clinics? Did you know that a dentist, a doctor, and all those people have regulations that they have to abide by? The abortion clinics don't have to. Can you imagine the millions and millions of young babies that have been aborted? They had a woman testify that she lived through the abortion and they tried to suffocate her because they had paid for an abortion. Now, I'm trying to show you the depravity of man. I'm trying to show you that money is what talks in America today. It doesn't have anything to do with this here, buying a car, doing this, doing the other. It's about money. And the quicker our young people learn that, the better off they're going to be. The better off they're going to be when they realize that to know more about God is real wealth in our life down here. And the more you know about God, the more responsibility involved. But let me say something to you. The more that you're in the will of God, the more you can come up against the giant and you can throw a pebble and kill the giant. Now you have the picture here of David, the giant. Amen. And so David, most preachers preach this, David pictures you and the giant as your difficulties, your bankruptcy, your whatever you've gone through. That's your difficulty. That is not what this picture is showing. That is not what this story is about. This story is about that God directed the stone, that God killed the giant. You don't have the ability. You don't have the know-how. But when you walk with God, you can cry out in God's name. And I said this the other day. When I was so moved and stirred by what I'm talking about here and what I read here, when I went to visit Ed and to pray for Ed before he went into surgery, I asked the Lord God of hosts to touch Ed's life. You say, "Do you have that right?" Well, I'm telling you, according to what I read here in these verses, according to this chapter, I believe I did have the right. In fact, the business is, I believe when we really get serious with God and we're like God and we spend time with God, we become more like God, and God uses us in the same capacity that He used the Lord Jesus on this earth when Jesus was here. So if we see that And we know that God is going to use us to that capacity. Let me tell you something, young people. It is not about this life. It's about the life out in the future we don't know about. And if we've never been washed whiter than snow, if we've never had our sins washed away, then we're on our own. And you have made that choice because I've told you that Jesus' blood washes away sin. He is the only answer. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Don't let somebody intimidate you where you don't say Jesus. Amen. This is way out of sorts. I'm already out of sorts. I've already left my notes. Amen. But I knew a man very well, very well. He used my car for a number of weeks. He's a good preacher. He was a young preacher. He said, he was from Louisiana. He said that God impressed his heart to go preach in Salt Lake City, Utah. And so he went to the brethren of the church, the men, the deacons, and all the people, the men of the church, and he prayed with them and told them, and they said, listen, you're out of your field. Don't go up there to Salt Lake City. Those people are prepared for people like you. They're waiting on you. The devil's waiting on you. They'll rip you to bits. And he said, so I took them at their word. You know what Saul told David? Watch yourself, son. Don't go out there. Don't fight the giant. He'll kill you. You need to look out for yourself. You need to protect yourself. Amen. Don't go out there and let him kill you like that. But he wasn't man enough to get up and do it. Nobody in his army was man enough to do it. And David said, well, what's the big deal? I can do it. I will win. You can have that kind of confidence with God. We're going to win. Listen, I'm going to win, people. You say, but Brother Billy, you just believe that. Well, not everybody believes that. I don't care. That's your problem. You don't believe that. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to receive his own unto himself. And those that are not his own are not go with him. So, anyhow, I want to talk about something about David that made him the man after God's own heart. The first thing I want to say is there's three conditions present here. I was talking about the guy that went to Salt Lake City. And I want to talk about these points were in this guy's life. He finally came to the place to where he was in his prayer time. That God told him to do this. Not man. God told him to do this. People say to me a lot of times at Days of Refreshing, they don't say it as much as they used to, but when they first started coming, they would say, now how did you do this? How did you arrange this? What they're saying is, if I do this, well, we have this same type of meeting at our church. And my answer would be, no. You say, wait a minute, you're not the only one. Now, I know that. But see, God gave me this. I didn't do this. We have a handful of people. There's two of them right there. Now, do they look like they could run and make a touchdown? I don't think so. But we had others just like them, but God still worked through them to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish in his place. It's God that worketh in you both the willing to do of his good pleasure. Amen? And he brings the results about. So this guy, he says, He says, well, I'm going. So he took off. He went to Salt Lake City. By the way, he was at a big Baptist conference in California. That ought to say something to you. And they had a bunch of Baptist preachers and evangelists and all this stuff, and they were going to have a meal together, and somebody was going to speak. They served the food, and after they served the food, well, they just started eating. Guys just started eating everywhere, you know. And so this guy, Paul, he jumps up on the table that he was sitting at, and he said, God, I want to ask you to bless this food, even with these people eating like a bunch of hogs here and not paying any attention to you. Please, God, bless this food, especially mine. And God said, amen, and got down and said, this is the same guy. So he went to Salt Lake City, and the first thing that happened was the first Saturday he got on the street corners of the great monument of John Smith. He got right there on below the monument, he preached that this guy was out of hell and at the demons of hell, and Jesus was the only way, and he preached the gospel, and he was arrested. They took him to town. The First Baptist Church came down. Some of the men came down. They binded him out, got him out, and got him back on the street. 2 days later, he was back in jail again. He's preaching on the street again. He's back in jail again. They went down, and they got him out the second time, and they told him, they said, look, brother, you cannot preach on the streets of Salt Lake City in Utah. You can't, it's against the law. They got an ordinance, you can't preach on the streets. Nobody, we can't preach on the street. So he rented a helicopter. And he stood with a microphone hanging out of that helicopter while they flew around and around that statue of John Smith preaching how this guy was straight out of hell and Jesus was the only way. Of course, when he landed, they arrested him again. To make a long story short, he preached there 4 Sundays, 4 weekends, and 17 members of the First Baptist Church got saved as a result of the ministry he had there. And about half of them were deacons in the First Baptist Church of that church in that town. Now, say what you will. It's okay. Say what you will. You don't want to follow a redneck. You don't want to follow a hoodoo. You don't want to follow an idiot. You don't want to do none of that. But if the Bible is what it says it is, and we're preaching what we say we preach, and if it is the truth, if I preach the truth, you better leave me alone. If I veer from the truth, then get rid of me. I mean, haul me out in the street. Amen. Get rid of me. But if I preach the truth, you better hear what it says to say. So there's 3 areas that I want to talk about, and I'll be done this morning. The first one is when we are pure in our motives. You know, Ed said, why did you drive 110 miles down here and you got to drive 110 miles back? Why did you drive down here just to be with me? I said, well, that's simple. That's simple. You know, Ed thinks that he loves me as if it's one-sided. But I love him. I miss the rascal. I'm going to send him a deal today and tell him that you missed church and I ain't going to forgive you for it. Amen. I love Ed. Now, if I go through everybody in this church, I can say truthfully, Brother Patrick, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, I love you. Amen. And let me tell you something else right along behind that. I'm not a lovable person. Amen. So it's not me, Brother Al. It's somebody else. Now, when I seek God, part of Him comes into me. When I seek God and His attributes, His character, things about Him, you see, God doesn't, He don't know how not to love. He is love. God is love. There's no such thing as God don't love. He loves everybody. He gives everybody the opportunity. We are His creation. God cares for your soul. You are here by the grace of God this morning that you can hear the truth another time before Jesus comes back. This earth is fixing to come unraveled. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. That's your problem. You can do what you want to do. This earth is fixing to come unraveled. We have somebody that's trying to do something good in the White House. Is he perfect? No. Has he got all the right answers? No. But I'm going to tell you, he's got some of the answers that are foundational to our Constitution. And brother, the rest of them don't give a hoot for you or anybody else, this nation or anybody else. And we have a society today that's saying they got a good chance to win back the House and the Senate in the fall. Well, I'm going to tell you, shame on America if that happens. So when our motives are pure, I talked about the deer stand and seeing my friend. David's ambition was to take always a reproach away from Israel. You know what you need to do? As a member of Victory Baptist Church, you need to cherish this place. You need to cherish this church, these grounds. You need to cherish this year. The opportunities that you have, what God has given us here, you need to hang on to and cherish with all your heart. You say, why? Because I'm going to tell you for a fact, God has been in this place many a year. God meets with His people. And God loves this church. Let all the, he said, David said this, let all the earth know there's a God in Israel. You know what? The world don't believe that. Now watch me here. Sin forfeits the rights to use His name. Sin forfeits the rights to use His name. You know what I prayed earlier this morning? God, anything in me, out about me, around me, anything that I've done, anything, God, forgive me, cleanse me. Make me a vessel that you could use in a small way. God, help the people to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts. Listen, when I got ready to go, I got ready to go visit old Ed up there. I was sitting in a deer stand before that. I was sitting up there, and I couldn't help it. This stuff here was just like something inside me bubbling. God was saying, you want to know some stuff, bud? Let me show you some stuff. On the cross, Jesus paid it all so that you could have eternal life. Somebody said, well, I'm not turning God down. You are if you don't receive Him. You don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't know what's on tomorrow. Amen. Christine was talking about the boys coming off the mountain the other day, and the mountain they live on, it's unbelievable. Dry, everything wonderful, it's unbelievable where they live. I can't believe that they moved into that house. So the other day they had their first experience, Brother Pruitt, of coming down off the mountain with his ass on it. Scared the living daylights out of all of them. They went down one at a time, telephoning back to each other, watch this, watch that, watch the other, and all this stuff. But all three of them slid all the way down the mountain. And it's just like this, down the mountain. I told her, I said, I know where that truck is that we moved you up there. You know, if you want me to, I'll bring her back up there and load you up and bring you back home. But you don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Did you know there's been, I don't know how many people died of the flu? The flu? I had a hard time picturing that, but I tell you, Miss Gloria, she scared me. She really scared me. I mean, she got so dehydrated that her kidneys started to act up. They weren't working right because she was so dehydrated. She had to go to the hospital three times that week, four times that week, and they put intravenously and put stuff in her, fluids in her, to kind of get her back going. Listen, we don't know what's on tomorrow. Listen, when we have pure motives, I have no other reason for being here at this place other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin forfeits that right to call His name. The second thing is when we're willing to allow God to occupy His rightful place in your life. There's where the rub comes. Everything's okay as long as I can do what I want to do with my business or whatever I'm doing, and God doesn't enter into it. Okay? So you're not willing to relinquish what David had. David just said, whatever, I'll do it. So the second point is when we're willing to allow God to occupy His rightful presence. Now let me tell you something. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. If you're born again, He is to totally, completely dictate and control your life. Does that mean you don't have a job? Does that mean you don't ride a horse? Does that mean you don't do this? No, it doesn't mean none of that. It means that He is going to work in your life where you are and what you're doing. That's exactly what it means. Now, I bought a bull the other day. And I needed him. I needed a bull. And on the way over to the auction, I kept saying to the Lord, Lord, you know this. I mean, you've known this all along. Would you help me? Would you help me get one? Would you get in the midst of this thing? Now look at me. Don't use this as an example in your life and do something stupid that you really hadn't got a hold to God about. But I went in that sale, and the bull that sold before him sold for $2,800. The only way I'd have $2,800 is if Patrick was to help me. The next bull that came in from the same ranch, from the same area, almost identical to the bull that just went out, I bought for $1,200. Now you say, what are you saying? I'm saying just recognizing and being close to God. God doesn't. Now listen to me. I've kicked calves over there that I felt like got ripped off when they sold. But I'm just telling you that God is on top of it all, and God is doing great and mighty things. Amen. So I figured when I got the bull home, he'd probably chase me out of the lot, and y'all figured he'd be crazy and all this stuff. And he's one of the gentlest things I've ever had. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. God is interested in everything that you do every day that you do it. God is interested in your job and how you do your job. The Lord will deliver you. He's talking about David saying, He will deliver you into my hand. Verse 46 and verse 47. He is the essential one in our life. We are not called to work for God. Listen to me. We are not called to work for God. But we are called to let God work through you. There is a great difference. That small, still voice. We've heard of that. Haven't you heard of that? The small, still voice. The small, still voice will direct your life. Will lead and guide and will direct in your life. What do we need this year? We need people that are God, that the God they're serving will lead their life and work in their life. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at some of the simple things that God does in people just like David's life. That David, it was just David. You can read it. It was just David here. And yet God was right in the midst of it and doing great and mighty things in David's life. And God wants to do that in our life. And the last thing is when we dare take no counsel of the world. We had a young man in our church for years, and he was a blessing. But he kept trying to connect the world with what he was saying. He kept trying to give them the gospel over dope. I just take a little bit with them, preacher. Just a little bit, and I'm able to give them the gospel. I said, you think God's in the midst of that junk? Now watch me. God is sovereign. He can do anything He wants to any time He wants to anybody He wants to, and He's right in what He does. God is not a God to enter into your sin. Not going to do it. Now, I'm sorry, but that is the truth. Saul said, look out for yourself. We'll work something out. The devil says, I'll work something out with you. You can compromise this. You can compromise that. You don't have to be so strict. People say, Brother Billy, if you just let up a little bit on sin and stuff like that, just let up a little bit, you'd have more people in your church. But God wouldn't be here. Thank you very much. And I'm going to tell you something. Me and Miss Gloria, and I'm not bragging on us now. Watch me. We have come to this church when we were the only two in the service. Now watch me. She needed a lot of preaching. Bless God, while I had her hemmed up and she couldn't talk back, I let her have it. Amen. But it was not because of people that came. It was because of the book. It was because of the study. It was because of what God was teaching us. We knew where we were supposed to be. We're in the house of God. You can't compromise with God. Just forget that. The Bible says it this way. Mammon cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Brother Roloff said you can't come down the altar and give your heart to Jesus, chewing your gum, holding the devil's hand with one hand, the preacher's hand with the other. Amen. Won't work. Watch me. God wants all of your life, every bit of it. He will not share it with anybody. If you trust Him, you are totally His. And He is what? A jealous God. Amen. I'm a jealous husband. I tell our grandkids, every once in a while, one of them say something harsh, a little bit harsh to Granny, because she forgets stuff. And they'll say something a little harsh to them, and I jump right square on top of them. She may lose her mind, but she's still Granny. And as long as Paul hadn't lost his mind, I'll hit you where it hurts worse. If you say any more bad things about Granny. Amen. Now, she don't believe that. And Miss Barbara don't believe that. They think, well, you pick on her too much. You just shouldn't pick on her so much. You know, and it's bad enough to have one woman like that and then have three or four. It's bad. Amen. We quander over so many things that don't amount to a hill of beans, and we cut the Almighty off from working in our life. If David had got out there and said, well, that might be something to what Saul said. And listen, he wouldn't have run at the giant and killed the giant. He'd have been hung up between the two. But the Almighty said, go ahead on, David. and I'll let you win. Did you know David's the only guy I know in the Old Testament who prayed and asked God, if I go down to fight this group of people, will I win? And God said, yeah, go ahead, I'll let you win. But he asked God, could he win? Now, would he have won if he didn't ask God? I don't know. I'm just telling you, David said, if I do this, will you honor me with letting me win the battle? God is very pointed in this verse where he talks about there was no helmet, there was no armor, there was no spear, there was no armor body, a guy in the front of the armor bearer. All it was just a sling and a stone. And God got all the glory. Now, what should we do this year when we start out? This new year, we're still in January. I'd say give your life to Jesus. You say, but I'm a Christian. Okay, that's good. Give your life to Jesus anyhow. If you've never been born again, what would I say? I'd say just give your life to Jesus. God will do mighty things in your life if you cut out the junk. And let me tell you something, the Baptists have a lot of junk. Amen. And so do a lot of the other denominations. A bunch of junk. God wants us to love each other, care for each other. He wants us to, first of all, love Him and clean our act up and come before Him with repentance hearts and faith and believing in Him. And God will change your life like you've never known before. And let me tell you something else, too. That old boy sitting back there in that sound room, God did that to him. And he's happy as a pig in slop. Now, he got off of work this morning at 9 o'clock. I come in the church. I'm in the fellowship hall, and I was walking down the... I forgot what I said to my wife. Probably something cocky. I said something to her. And he comes in that door there and slaps his hands, a loud, you know, like somebody shot. And comes up and hugs me and talks about what a blessing it is to be at God's house. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not how you obey this. See, that's how the Jew got in trouble. They did all the right things with all the wrong spirit and all the wrong attitude. But when we do what God tells us to do in His Word, it's no longer a thing of boasting and all this stuff. It's just that we're joyful people and love Him and the grace of God. We're just going to stand for a few seconds. We're not going to have any music. I'll give you an opportunity. You need to pray. You can come to this altar. You can pray right where you're at. Whatever you want to do. Let God have His way in your heart, and you'll see great and mighty things done. Amen. We'll just give you a few seconds, and we'll close.